Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke. Today, we're joined by Bob Grieshaber, Safety and Risk Management Officer here at UW Parkside. Bob, thanks for taking time to talk a little safety with us today.
Welcome to be here, John.
Give us an idea of kind of an overview of your responsibilities as Safety and Risk Manager Officer here at UW Parkside.
John, there are four main areas. First and second, I refer to them as the safety and health aspect of the job. That's, in other words, the OSHA component. That could be anything from fire safety, occupational injuries like amputations, electrical safety. The health component is chemical, biological, physical, radiological. The third component is the environmental aspects. A good example of that would be hazardous waste management. Mm-hmm. And there are various other environmental components and compliance with U.S. Environmental Protection Agency regulations and our own Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources rules that Parkside is required to comply with. Another component is emergency management, and I work closely with the university police on that component. And the last is the risk management, and that's insurance and minimizing bad things, for lack of a better term, that can happen to a university campus.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about safety and risk management, the UW Parkside campus is really like a small city or a small community, that you have so many different elements going on at one time, whether it's the things that happen in the science building and different, you know, chemicals and different testing that's being done there, or our police department, or various our housing on campus that people are living here. So it really does become kind of looking at it like a small community, isn't it?
Yes, it is, John. And, you know, sometimes people think that the safety and risk is just for the sciences, but really all aspects of the university have to be, you know, concerned and take this, you know, risk management, give it some, you know, credence. For example, like with international travel, mm-hmm. That's a big concern with us because of risks associated with that. And once you leave our country, you're not in the safety component that we're used to here in the U.S. So that's mm-hmm. one thing we're emphasizing. There are other aspects of risk management, too, through that cover all components of the university.
So talk a little bit more about the international aspect. I mean, certainly the university has a responsibility to do the best job it can to protect its students, its faculty, staff who are traveling internationally. What are some of the things that you take into consideration before someone is sent to a different country?
Whether they're incoming students or outgoing, we like to think about situational awareness. Again, you become comfortable with your perception of safety, for example, here in the United States, but mm-hmm. when you leave and go to another country, it's different rules, different culture, and you need to, you know, think about the hazards and components that you may not be used to. So mm-hmm. we try to educate our outgoing students, as well as the incoming students, too. Mm-hmm. Again, for example, and we had students from Japan, which is a very safety-conscious culture and a relatively lack of crime over there. But when they come here to the U.S., we have to educate them, too, to our procedures and culture as well. So, you know, it's a very interesting component of the job is international safety. Mm. And I like to think, as Parkside as a leader, we just recently instituted a campus international safety committee too, which is a multidisciplinary committee to discuss our international travel agenda and safety components.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that you do a lot of training on campus for various safety situations.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of back to the travel again, do you also conduct or get in touch with people who are taking students to a different country about, you know, some of the things to consider, or do you offer that to those folks?
We're making a concerted effort to do that. That has always taken place. We've always required a contingency plan of sorts. But with recent awareness across the UW system with international travel, we're ramping it up a bit. Mm-hmm. I rely on the International Travel Office to take the lead on it, but I'm most certainly a consultant and to that department to perhaps cover things that they may not consider, but I do. For example, fire safety, fire protection when you travel internationally, transportation issues, for example. We look at crime and political stability in other countries, and if we have to, if there'd be an incident, how do we repatriate these people, bring them back to the U.S.? So all these examples we're giving far more priority to than we have, say, just 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about how do you get to this point in your career? What's kind of been your background to now become safety and risk management officer at UW Parkside?
Well, that's an interesting question, John. That goes back a ways, and it comes back to UW Parkside. I'm actually a UW Parkside graduate. Years ago, they had a program here, a rather unique program, and it was called the Industrial Environmental Hygiene Program.
Hmm.
And I was one of the last people to get out in 1985. There were only about 19 graduates. I think the program was a little bit ahead of its time, perhaps. But I'm a trained industrial hygienist, environmental hygienist.
Hmm.
I'm a state certified or licensed health inspector. I'm also called a certified industrial hygienist. That means I'm certified in the health aspects of OSHA. That's the chemical, the biological, the physical. I've just completed my seventh year here at Parkside and my 27th year in the UW system. So, you know, I have over a quarter century of experience in the safety and health field. Here at Parkside, a big component of my position is also the risk management and, you know, again, the insurance aspect.
Right.
And that's a more holistic approach of safety, health, and risk, again, throughout the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So in my, you know, I'm very lucky in some regard as having a quarter of century experience in the UW system. There's few things that I haven't experienced working at UW-Milwaukee and here at Parkside. So it's a very interesting job. It's not boring every day. It's a new situation.
Right.
Hopefully it's things we can handle, and that's the way it should work.
Sure. What, from looking at the UWM perspective, much larger campus, different in that it's right in the middle of an urban area where Parkside is kind of buffered a little bit by a park area and some more open areas. What are some of the maybe similarities between, if there are, between the two campuses and some of the differences between the larger, more urban set campus and the smaller campus that's set a little bit more in a suburban area? I was going to save the really hard question for the end, but I thought I'd start now.
UW-Milwaukee, as an urban campus, obviously there are a lot of issues off campus that can affect the university. Again, it's highly populated. Quite frankly, you do have some crime on the outskirts of the campus, even though the campus itself is, you know, like Parkside, probably one of the safest areas, you know, as a UW campus.
Yeah.
Very safe, all the campuses are. So there, being an urban campus too, it's a cultural and a centerpiece of the community, so you have a lot of people coming and going, whereas at Parkside, not to that extent. UWM is a research campus as well, so there's a lot more that aspect, both in the sciences and the arts and, you know, community engagement. We have that to a lesser extent at Parkside, but most certainly there is an active research component too, which I find myself getting involved in, both in the safety and the risk aspects.
And But I'm kind of curious to hear how it would seem like working at a larger campus, and maybe this isn't a fair statement, but it seems like working at a larger campus, the process of safety and risk management would be very important because you're dealing with a larger number of students, faculty, staff. And did that help prepare you for coming to UW-Parkside as far as following processes or way in which safety and risk management is handled?
John, to answer your question, I would have to say yes. It has influenced my perspective on how it's handled. Being a smaller campus has some benefits in that I think it's almost easier to manage than it is at a very large, diverse campus like UWM. Quite frankly, we have a bit more control here at Parkside as far as processes. I think the smaller aspect of the campus fosters that. Sometimes these larger campuses, they're entities amongst themselves as far as departments. And, you know, like take a campus like UW-Madison, it boggles my mind with the complexity and the size and the magnitude a campus like Madison has to deal with. I'll give you an example. I'm a one-person department at Parkside. At UW-Madison, they have 70 environmental health, safety, risk management personnel to handle the complexity of that campus. That means here at Parkside, I have to wear many hats and keeps me busy. But in some regards, being a smaller campus, it does make it more manageable.
Talk to me a little bit about not only your experience in the UW system, but how much do you rely on your counterparts around the system in terms of best practices or hearing about a situation or how something is dealt with? Do you stay in contact with those folks? I know, like in the case of a Jim Heller as chief of police, he's talking with other chiefs around the UW system because sometimes they're running into very similar situations and how things are handled. Does the same thing happen with safety and risk management throughout the system?
Yes, John, it does. We have both what I call the corporate aspect of the UW system, that's system administration, and we have the Office of Risk Management, who I rely on greatly, being a one-person safety risk management department for procedural aspects of my job. We also have the safety component, the environmental, for example, with waste management, chemical waste management, which is very specialized. And again, I rely on their expertise to help me out, as well as I also look at the other UW campuses. I look for best practice. One thing I've always been concerned about, I don't want to be considered out in left field somewhere. I'd like to be a leader in the system as far as practices that we have in place. So I rely on heavily rely heavily on best practice with my colleagues. And both at the UW at the individual campus as well as the corporate office at system administration.
How about the, because I've had the opportunity to attend some safety sessions, seminars that were put on by emergency management organizations, parts of the regional government here in southeastern Wisconsin. How does the partnership with groups off campus that are still involved with a safety aspect for our community, what's that partnership like, those relationships?
We rely heavily with outside agencies, particularly with law enforcement. In the Kenosha County, we have, in the Sheriff's Department, they have a sub-department of emergency management, who we interact closely with, more on a preparedness level. We consider ourselves a partner. Parkside has various expertise in various facets of the organization and communication and law enforcement. And so we try to partner with Kenosha County. They also have what's called a public-private partnership program.
Mm-hmm.
John, you mentioned you've attended several of those meetings, and Kenosha has one of the more active public-private partnerships in the state of Wisconsin. So I'm proud to be, you know, we should be proud as community members to be in Kenosha County for that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Racine County is also ramping up the initiative too, particularly with development that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have monthly meetings with the county, and same thing with our police chief, Jim Heller. He works closely with other law enforcement agencies in the county.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a priority for us, is to partner with other agencies.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that I found interesting when, and I appreciate the fact that you gave me the opportunity to attend some of those sessions, is when you get there and you look around the room and you see the number of people who are, you know, they're working pretty hard to make sure that in the event of something going on that is not good in this region, that there is a process in place to help deal with that, to mitigate the situation, to make the emergency situation as good in a bad situation as it can be. But, you know, it's kind of behind the scenes work, isn't it? That it's not always known that here's a number of groups or agencies or people who are working to help ensure the safety of the community.
Yes, John, I agree with that there's a lot of behind the scenes work. For example, one of the important components of that is communication. Rather than waiting for the think about the communication aspects and how we're going to move forward if something does happen, we like to be proactive and, you know, consider the what if scenarios. Mm-hmm. And so we're not scrambling when things do happen. It isn't inevitable that things will happen. That's right. Kept me in business for the past 3 decades.
Yeah.
But pre-planning is extremely important, and the communication aspects, too, for all components, both personnel and particularly the students, where we have, you know, revolving door. Every year we have new students, and we have to make sure we follow the same practices to keep them up to speed, too, mm-hmm. with procedures.
Sure. And a lot of your work here at UW-Parkside involves creating training sessions for students, faculty, and staff. And I think about the during the emergency, during the weather month that we've just gone through not too long ago, and being able to, where there's opportunities for people to not only do things here on campus that help them prepare in the event of something happening from a weather emergency, but also if they weren't on campus, if they were, you know, at their home, and thinking about those training opportunities and being able to help people prepare so that they do know how to react in a situation versus wondering, by the time they wonder what they should be doing, it's probably too late. They haven't had that opportunity to react, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We try to, when I do our safety training and emergency preparedness, we try to think this may affect you both at home as well as at work.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, as well as you can be prepared, that's the better all around for both your work colleagues as well as your family and community.
Mm-hmm. And talk about some of the training sessions that you lead here, not only yourself, but in conjunction with the police department. What are some of the things that you're doing for faculty, staff, and students?
One of the major components here is fire protection, fire prevention, and what we refer to as life safety. Life safety is how people react in emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's special emphasis in the residence halls with the resident assistants, the RAs, because they're the boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that they're up to speed on dealing with, could be personal interaction as well as campus emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
There are times of the year, as you mentioned, for example, in April when it's Severe Weather Awareness Week, we have our tornado drills and we broadcast to the campus community on procedure for severe weather. Fortunately, mm-hmm. we're getting out of that in late October and November.
Mm-hmm.
But in 4 or 5 months, we'll be readdressing that again.
Yeah.
October is Fire Safety Prevention Month.
Mm-hmm.
I'll probably be offering more fire extinguisher classes. Back in September, I think we had 100 participants mm-hmm. in 8 separate sessions, which is very popular. Another component of my job, as I mentioned, working with the faculty and research component of the university is laboratory safety, which is an OSHA-regulated, mandated. We must have a laboratory safety program mm-hmm. and work procedures for labs. Labs are special places, and labs also extend to art studios. People don't think of that, but mm-hmm. in the art and theater of the campus, they work with chemicals and machinery the same as they do in the sciences.
Sure.
So it's always an awareness component of the job where we have to keep promoting working safely
mm-hmm.
and thinking about emergency preparedness as well.
Do you think most people are deep down, they want to be safe? They want to do the right thing?
Yes, I do. And from my experience, when they don't, it's generally because they haven't had the opportunity to work with the department such as mine mm-hmm. or personnel.
Mm-hmm.
They're not aware of it. They may have not been educated in the procedures. And contrary to popular belief, it's not intuitive working safely. There is a science to it and procedures. And particularly when you get into the regulatory aspects like the OSHA and EPA, there's a great deal of, I'm going to call it bureaucratic, but necessary procedure work to make sure that the organization is doing what it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a checks and balance. And, you know, I'm a critical component of that to facilitate that process.
Mm-hmm. What would you, if you had to sort of rank some of your top 3 or 4 challenges of your position, what might those be?
There's never enough time to do mm-hmm. what you would like to. One is prioritizing. Again, in a university organization, you know, there are many components, many risks across the organization. One emphasis or program we have, it's called Enterprise Risk Management, at looking at risks over the entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be an initiative that will be undertaken in 2019 with departments across campus. And a third is, you know, having the proper resources to do what we need to do. Like, for example, with hazardous waste disposal, costs keep going up. Some oddball things we find that they're expensive and to dispose of. Another aspect of cost, too, is keeping our buildings in code compliance. You know, we're celebrating our 50th anniversary, but codes and regulations and practices change, and we have to comprehensively look at the campus. And as we upgrade our buildings, for example, with the Wiley renovation,
mm-hmm.
A significant component of that is going to be in, you know, bringing the building up to current codes, regulations mm-hmm. that may have not existed 50 years ago. And we're talking about fire protection and communication and life safety. That's looking at egress issues, how people get out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a constant challenge. And, you know, again, fortunately, we have resources at UW system to help us on those matters.
Sure, sure. Well, and as you know, I took part in the fire extinguisher training recently, which was not only interesting, educational from the standpoint that prior to the session, if somebody would have said to me, well, what's the difference between the A, B, and C mm-hmm. fire extinguishers? My answer would be, well, I know that one of them is supposed to. So it was good to know that, so that even at home, I could look to see, well, what type of extinguishers do we have here in the house, and why just having one type may not be may not be the right thing to do, especially if it would be a B and C versus an A, B, and C, something like that. And also the opportunity to, I think, to operate the fire safety equipment where, you know, it's one thing to look at a fire extinguisher and go, oh, okay, there it is. And if something happens, I need to get that. But to know how to properly use the equipment. And I would think that would be a fairly rewarding part of the job when like you said, you have more than 100 people here at Parkside going through the training and seeing that they look at that and go, wow, that was valuable. I learned things.
I'm glad you say that, John. In the quarter century I've been in the field, I think I've put over 2,000 people through fire extinguisher training. And the fire extinguisher aspect of it is just to get them there. There's heavy component of fire protection, you know, looking at hazards in your home. For example, are you storing gasoline in your garage? If that gasoline spills and if you have a flash fire, mm-hmm. are you going to be able to protect yourself and your family
right.
To get out of that situation? Do you have a smoke detector in your home? We emphasize that. It's looking at other aspects, but again, it does give me a rewarding feeling that a lot of people, particularly when I'm dealing with students, their first introduction to safety or hard safety is here at UW Parkside. Mm. And mm-hmm. I may very well be the first face that they remember throughout their career, which we hope is rewarding and productive. Mm-hmm. But safety will most certainly be a component as our students move on in their careers and lives.
So when you're watching TV at night or walking down the street or in a store or restaurant or whatever, just because of what you do, I would think it would be almost impossible to disengage and not be looking for, oh, there's an unsafe situation, or oh, there's a good example of somebody did some safety planning there. That you've got to live that 24/7, don't you?
You never turn it off. You're always on watch. I wish I could turn it off sometimes, but it's really profession, and you have to live it if you're engaged in this activity. So,
so you live it. That's what you do,
I'm
right?
Living it, and I've yeah. been doing it. I hope I have a few good years left in me.
Sure.
But enjoy being at Parkside, and I think we're a very safe campus, and we have some initiatives on the burner, so mm-hmm. hopefully in 2019 we'll ramp it up a little bit and get even
good.
More
good.
Participation in our programs.
Right. And we've got a few minutes left in the program. If you're talking to someone who's asking about, well, what are some of the best things I can do if I'm going to start out and make sure that my home environment is as safe as it can be, what are some of the things you would say? Well, these are things you have to do. You got to do these. And what are some of Safety Bob's got to do tips?
Keep the flammable liquids out of the home. You know, if you have a shed, people don't realize the hazards of flammable liquids. If there's a spill of a flammable liquid like gasoline or alcohol, and if there's a spark, you are going to have a flash fire.
Mm-hmm.
And unless if you are trained in how to use a fire extinguisher, even if you have a fire extinguisher, are you going to be able to put that out? And some likelihood, if you have a gasoline spill, you may not be successful.
Mm-hmm.
So think about the preparedness aspect. You should have a fire extinguisher in your home. For example, if you have a grease fire on the stove, you should most certainly have a smoke detector. Several smoke detectors, particularly near the bedroom areas.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon monoxide detector, particularly mm-hmm. if you have, use a combustion source for your home heating, you know, like mm-hmm. a gas furnace,
right.
oil furnace.
Yep.
If you have a fireplace, have a carbon monoxide detector. Think about security aspects too. How to get out of the dwelling, if there'd mm-hmm. be an emergency, particularly if you have children, are they going to be able to figure out how to get out?
Mm-hmm.
If one exit or egress would be blocked, think about your secondary or tertiary exits are very important, not only in your home, but if you go out to a theater or restaurant, shopping center,
mm-hmm.
anything can happen. So again, it's that situational awareness that plays a key component to personal safety.
Mm-hmm. Kind of relating to like what you hear some of the police officers and law enforcement folks talk about is being aware of your surroundings when you're out in public.
Yes, and I want to emphasize too, for students here at Parkside, our university police provide many educational outreach topics throughout the year. I think on a yearly basis, I've heard like 60 to 70 programming events per year just with the police. I offer somewhere between 20 and 30 programming outreach efforts a year, mostly emphasizing OSHA aspects and environmental.
Mm-hmm.
So if people have a chance, particularly if they're on the Parkside campus, you know, try to participate in some of our programming events.
Yeah. Well, I know that, you know, everyone, when they come to campus, be they student, faculty, staff, or community partner, community member, Parkside is an extremely safe place to be, extremely safe campus. And part of the reason that it is safe is because of people like you who are working to help make that happen, our law enforcement folks. And so, Bob, thank you for taking time today to be on Parkside today, and thanks for the work you do to keep Parkside a very safe learning environment. We appreciate that.
Thank you, John. I appreciate being here.